Ladies and gentlemen, I really would like to appreciate the opportunity to share our experience in supporting agriculture transformation in Africa. And I know for the last 2 days we've been talking about rice, but some of the issues that have emerged, we've been dealing with them. And I thought for the sake of partnership, we should share that experience. Now, if I have only 1 second, Mr. Chairman, to summarize what I'm going to talk about, in case I don't get through it, is two things. One, we really applaud Africa Rice and partners for the work they have done, partnering with the countries to generate data and make simulations that inform and guide information, guide decision making. Secondly, my short message is it can be done, but we will need to partner. You need public-private partnership. But this partnership should be based on shared analytics. I think the model that we shared earlier are very valuable, but they are too broad. I just want to share the experience we've gone through with some of the countries to come up with a plan. Now, quickly, I work for AGRA. AGRA has been there for 10 years. It was created by then Mr. Kofi Annan, who was the UN General Secretary. And the question AGRA was trying to address is, how come the Green Revolution did not happen in Africa, whereas it happened in Asia? And I'm glad that you are listening to our colleague from Asia. And AGRA was given the mandate to fast track it. But before moving forward, I just want to say quickly that Africa is much more complex, much bigger, and the short answer is there is no blueprint. You cannot cut and paste. So the solution, the approach have to be very systematic and be really take into account the context. Now, I tell you very quickly about, this is basically the background that I wanted to give. Created in 2006, we have done a lot of things, including training breeders so that they are able to generate context-specific varieties and technologies, helping set up seed companies that can deliver the seeds at the doorstep of farmers, support processors and agro dealers so that we can have a tight value chain. Now, two things we learned after 10 years. This job, you really need to make sure that technologies are adapted to the context. We need to put the smallholder farmer at the center, but we need to build capacity and strengthen R&D capability. This is some of the things that we learned over the last 10 years. Moving forward, the goal that we have given ourselves is to help sustain agricultural transformation in Africa through innovation and market-led approaches, including delivery of finance. And we are aiming to double the income of 9 million households in 11 countries, in 6 countries, sorry, but to double, to increase the income of 21 million households through partnership. But all of this will happen if we are able to help the countries to sustain a path to our transformation. That's going to be a key of my message. You cannot do it if you don't help the countries do it. That's the key. Now, some of the lessons we've learned very quickly is we talk a lot about money, but you can't succeed if you don't have country commitment. This is why I appreciate the point the colleague was making, that government commitment and vision, because in the end, they are the one who drive it. Secondly, the problem is not always resources. And I will show you that you have more resources, but they cannot absorb it. It goes back to what Mohammed Abdullahi was talking about. Thirdly, technologies require a system. You need seed system, you need market system and extension system. And these things need to be built over time. Finally, no single organization, even the World Bank, doesn't have enough money to support all this investment. So we need to leverage, especially from the private sector, from people like you, Mr. Chairman, because you are investing. So we will not be sustainable if we are not able to attract the private sector. Now, in Africa, to do this job, we have selected a number of agroecologists. Because the point is, even though we are interested in the whole continent, we need to make sure that we select the agroecologies where we are more likely to succeed, so that we can expand. In West Africa, we selected the Guinea Savanna area with focus on four countries. Most of them are here: Mali, Nigeria, Burkina Faso, and Ghana. In East Africa, you have the other countries. You have the East African highlands, but also you have the Miombo woodlands. Now, based on our experience, and this is an important slide that I want to share, especially with my colleagues from the World Bank. You need the idea of segmentation. Not all countries are at the same level. You too. Okay, I'm agreeing with you. Now, the implication is the way we think through our transformation. In some countries, because of significant, we categorize 11 countries on three criteria: the level of access and adoption of technologies, access to input, and the vibrancy of private sector. If you are in this first category, you cannot have transformation if you don't push. You need technology, you need new technologies. But in countries where they have all these conditions, you need a pull. But in reality, for all countries, you need to work both ends. So that's one important element that I want to highlight. The second, we need to be clear on what we're trying to achieve. This is our theory of change. Our transformation will happen when we hit the tipping point. And the way you can represent it, there is a level of yield. If a farmer moves from 500 metric ton to 3 metric ton, 500 kilo to 3 metric ton, they can afford the input. It goes back to the issue of subsidy. You don't need to subsidize it. So you need to know, what does it take to move to get to the tipping point where things become self-sustainable? And the short answer is, you need to work things at farmer level, but there are some challenges at system level, and there are some challenges at national level. If you don't address the three, it's very unlikely that you will not succeed. And quickly, I'll show you how we are doing it in this country. But the idea of a tipping point is very important, because if you don't know what you are working against, you don't know when you succeed and what challenges you have. Now, I want you to look at this very carefully, my friends from the World Bank India, Mehad, Merak. This is an example of Nigeria. Even if you take any value chain, even though you have problems everywhere, they don't have the same level of severity. Based on our investigation and engagement with partners, we realize that if you take in these two regions, the most challenging constraint has on the downstream. This is what we are talking about around processing and marketing. If you sort it out, you are more likely to have a pull approach. But in addition, you need to make sure that we sort out issue of policy that relate mainly to the seed system. You also need to deal with issue of agricultural finance. So if you look at it, all segments of the chain don't have the same level of severity, and depending on the crop and the country, your priority should focus on where you are likely to succeed. And the other thing is, you can't reinvent the wheel. People are already there. You cannot start from scratch. You already have organizations who are investing. Look at this. So it's not a problem of money. Actually, the problem becomes, how do you coordinate? I was talking to my colleague from the FAO. We all come and plant our flags. How does it add up? And this is where you need a strong government capacity to coordinate and provide leadership. Quickly.
You say you need strong
government capacity to coordinate and provide leadership for the whole ecosystem to work smoothly.
Okay, like this government.
Like yours, exactly. Now, I think one of what we call country support and policy engagement is really a recognition that you can't actually transform agriculture unless the government takes the leadership. Which means they need to be able to, and I know some of the people in this room are working on this, to be able to articulate very clear plan on how they are going to build their sector, prioritize flagship, but build accountability system. All our governments are returning money. We cannot absorb the money that the World Bank gives us, because nobody will give you money if you can't do a plan, implement it, and account for it. Finally, you need to make sure that you strengthen the environment to be able to attract the private sector. Now, the other part is the system building, everything that has to do with value chain, with consortium, etc. And I will illustrate it very quickly because, Mr. Chairman, we don't have much time. But under country support, what the whole idea is, how to coordinate all these interventions and make sure that there is execution. How do you make sure that government is able to coordinate the donor through the donor working group? How do you make sure that you have the right policy environment to take care of the Benin problem? How do you make sure that you institutionalize an accountability system by which resources given to ministry are accounted for vis-a-vis the Minister of Finance, but also vis-a-vis the donor? This is an example. I mean, some of you are aware of the countries. I mean, Abdoulaye mentioned the National Investment Plan from Senegal Emergent, which provides a bigger vision. Then you have a plan for a shorter period. The whole idea is, how do you make sure that this vision is linked to the policy environment and you have some capacity to generate statistics? An example is procurement. How long does it take to get anything done in any government? Even if you have the money, you can't deliver. If we don't sort it out, it doesn't matter how much money you put in the system, it will not work. So this is crucial, but I don't have much time. This is an example of Ghana. My colleague from Ghana will recognize that part of what we did as part of our country support, we helped the government with its flagship program of planting for food and jobs, to the point where all the donors found it attractive. But at the same time, we are investing in PPP. This is where you bring off-takers and you link them up with farmers and make sure that you can have tight value chain through financing, through capacity extension, etc. I don't have much time, but if you want, we can talk about it later. And this is where the system building piece, the seed, the fertilizer, etc. But unless you work on the three pillars, you are very unlikely. You do project until the cows come back home, no transformation. A project will end, another one will start, but you don't have the synergetic effect that is required. Now, a crucial, and this is also another example from Ghana, you probably know the InCycle and BeCycle. If in a specific locality, you don't have a way of linking all the investment happening in the region, under the leadership of the district planning and coordination unit, you don't have mutual accountability, it doesn't add up. People repeat the same thing. So this is part of the country support that is being done in Ghana. Finally, and this is my last slide, how do we connect? How do we make it happen? Firstly, to support people like you, Mr. Chairman, we do what we call matching grants. We don't give you totally a grant because you are an investor, but if there is a risk that the farmers you are having a contract will side sell, we'll provide resources to make sure that the relationship is tight. This is what we call matching grant. We share the risk. But we also build partnerships along value chain. In addition, and this is really where I am, this is what I'm telling Abdoulaye for the last few days, all your investment, because in the end, unless we are able to link our support to flagship program the government is using to attract bigger funding, we will not get an ad transformation. So this is the gist of the message. I have more information. We have done 11 business plan, country business plan. You have specific analysis on commodities, where the challenges are, and the kind of partnership that are required. I thank you for your attention.